2, The Louisiana Purchase. As you read, look for The Importance of the Louisiana Purchase, Early Expeditions to Present-Day Oklahoma, and Vocabulary Terms, Epidemic, Ratify, Appropriate, Pirogue, Protege, and Renegade. Napoleon Bonaparte seized power in France at the end of the French Revolution in 1799, and he set out to conquer the world. He wanted to restore the French Empire in North America, and he persuaded Spain to give up all of Louisiana. Spain transferred Louisiana to France in the secret Treaty of San Ildefonso of 1800, although the formal transfer did not take place for 2 years. President Thomas Jefferson was alarmed to learn that France would control New Orleans. The United States could reckon with Spain's control, but Napoleon's France was much more powerful. France might try to take land from the United States. Jefferson wanted to avoid war. In 1801, he sent Robert Livingston, the U.S. minister to France, to meet with the French foreign minister. Livingston was told to try to purchase New Orleans for $2 million, but that effort failed. In 1802, Napoleon sent 20,000 French troops to regain the island of Haiti, which he planned to use as a base to gain control of the Mississippi Valley. A yellow fever epidemic, an outbreak of a contagious disease, killed most of the French soldiers in Haiti and changed Napoleon's future and that of the Louisiana area. He couldn't risk sending more soldiers and losing them to disease. Napoleon knew the United States wanted New Orleans and resented foreign control of the Mississippi River. In April 1803, Special Envoy James Monroe was sent to join Livingston. They were authorized to offer up to $10 million for New Orleans and all or part of Florida. Before the Americans made the offer, French Minister of Finance, François de Barbey Marbois, suggested that Napoleon should agree to sell the Louisiana Territory to the United States. Napoleon agreed to sell the territory and New Orleans for $15 million. The shocked Americans quickly worked out the details of the Louisiana Purchase. The United States bought some 600 million acres, or about 827,000 square miles, for about 4 cents an acre. When asked to identify the boundaries, the French foreign minister said, quote, "I can give you no directions. You have made a noble bargain for yourselves, and I suppose you will make the most of it," end quote. The Constitution of the Young Country didn't address adding territory, but President Jefferson submitted the Louisiana Purchase to Congress as a treaty. After some debate, the United States Senate voted 24-7 to ratify, formally approve, the treaty. The American flag was raised over Louisiana for the first time on December 20, 1803. The vast territory had to be explored, organized, and governed. Because of its size, Congress first created 2 territories in March 1804. The territory of Orleans contained most of present-day Louisiana, and the remaining land was in the District of Louisiana within the newly formed Indiana Territory. Oklahoma was part of the District of Louisiana. General James Wilkinson was named the first governor of the District of Louisiana, and St. Louis became the capital. Northern Louisiana became the territory of Missouri in 1812, and the Oklahoma area was connected to the territory of Arkansas in 1819. Exploring the Louisiana Purchase. In 1803, President Jefferson asked Congress to fund an expedition that would cross the Louisiana Territory, regardless of who controlled it, and proceed to the Pacific Ocean. Jefferson was very interested in learning about the geography of the West, the people, plants, animals, soil, rocks, and weather. With Louisiana now in U.S. hands, an expedition was assembled, and $2,500 was appropriated, set aside, for the trip. The cost eventually grew to $38,000. President Jefferson asked Meriwether Lewis to be the commander of the exploration party, and Lewis asked former Army comrade William Clark to share the command. In May 1804, the crew set out in a large 55-foot-long keelboat and two smaller pirogues, canoe-shaped boats, from just upstream of St. Louis on the Missouri River. The expedition, known as the Corps of Discovery, traveled over 4,000 miles by water and by land to reach the Pacific Ocean. They returned in September 1806 with an enormous amount of information. Later, Lewis was named governor of Louisiana Territory, and Clark was made the Indian agent for the West and brigadier general of the territory's militia. In 1813, Clark served as Missouri's territorial governor. The Sparks Expedition. President Jefferson was equally interested in having another expedition explore the southwestern part of the Louisiana Purchase to help firmly establish the boundary between Spain and the United States. Congress appropriated $5,000 for the grand excursion to the southwest. Jefferson's first choice for the task was Sir William Dunbar, a scientist. Dunbar asked Dr. George Hunter, a chemist, to assist him on something of a trial run. In the winter of 1804 and 5, they led a small group up the Ouachita River in Louisiana and into Arkansas. The men, however, decided they didn't want to pursue the larger expedition up the Red River. Jefferson tried again to assemble a Southwest expedition in 1806. The 24-man military contingent included Thomas Freeman, astronomer and surveyor, the field leader, Peter Custis, medical student, and Captain Richard Sparks, the ranking officer. The president told the explorers to take detailed notes of all that they observed along the journey up the Red River. Jefferson also directed the expedition to let the Indians know that there was a new Great Father in Washington. The flotilla, fleet of boats, traveled north on the Red River as far as Natchitoches, Louisiana, where the men ran into the Great Raft logjam. Even though another 26 men joined the expedition, it took them over 2 weeks to work through the logjam. Sparks learned from Caddo Indians that a Spanish army was paralleling the expedition. The Spanish had also tried to intercede the Lewis and Clark expedition, but failed. The expedition continued north on the river. Rounding a bend, perhaps at the edge of Oklahoma, they were confronted by a large Spanish army that demanded they turn back. In his exploring instructions, Jefferson had specified that the explorers were to turn around if confronted by a superior force. The explorers considered the situation for 2 days before deciding to turn around. The Sparks expedition didn't accomplish all Jefferson had wanted it to, but it did gain much information. Jefferson hoped to send Freeman on an 1807 expedition up the Arkansas River, but Congress would not provide the funds. Although formal expeditions were unsuccessful, private traders did make inroads into the area. In 1808, trader Anthony Glass of Mississippi followed the Red River to trade with the Wichita at the Twin Villages. Glass learned that another American trading group had passed the area on its way to Santa Fe. The Pike-Wilkinson Expedition. Zebulon M. Pike joined the United States Army at the age of 20 and soon became the protege, a young person who receives experienced guidance, of James Wilkinson, the commanding general of the Army. In 1805, Wilkinson ordered Pike to explore the upper Mississippi River. He was put in charge of a second expedition in 1806 to explore the Arkansas and Red Rivers and make contact with various tribes. General Wilkinson's son, Lieutenant James Biddle Wilkinson, accompanied the expedition. Pike left St. Louis and went up the Missouri River with 23 men plus 51 Osage he was escorting to their villages. Pike's party then headed across the Kansas Plains and entered a Pawnee village, where he talked them into replacing the Spanish flag with the U.S. flag. The expedition followed the Santa Fe Trail south to the Arkansas River. At this point, Lieutenant Wilkinson, five privates, and an Osage guide left Pike and the others to explore the river. Winter was fast approaching, but Wilkinson's party canoed down the river until shallow water forced them to walk along the bank. When they were able to get back on the river, they were hampered by chunks of ice and snowstorms. The boat overturned, dumping food and ammunition into the icy water. Nevertheless, the party safely returned to St. Louis 73 days later. Wilkinson's journal provided a glimpse of life in Oklahoma. He mentioned seeing many Osage villages and hunting camps of the Cherokee, Choctaw, and Creek. The party passed a 7-foot waterfall. He wrote of hearing about rich lead mines and salt prairies. Wilkinson reported he visited the winter camp of Cashasigra, a nominal leader of the Osage, who wanted the United States to establish a trading post at the mouth of the Verdigris River to help alleviate the poverty of his people. The party also met Joseph Bogie, a French trader from the Arkansas Post. Bogie had been traveling with $10,000 worth of goods to trade to the Osage for furs when he was attacked and robbed by a war party of Choctaw. Meanwhile, Pike continued west toward the Rocky Mountains, eventually arriving in the area of the mountain peak that is named for him. His men suffered greatly from frostbite, inadequate clothing, and low rations. Pike and his men, who survived, were later arrested by a Spanish patrol and held until July 1807. The Sibley Expedition. Salt, essential in diets and used to preserve food and tan hides, was a valuable commodity, article of trade. President Jefferson was intent on learning more about the rumored salt mountain on the plains. In 1811, he sent Indian agent George Champlin Sibley, guided by Osage San Oriel, to make friends and allies with the Indians and to find the Salt Mountain. The party traveled to Nebraska from Fort Osage in Missouri, then south across Kansas and into northwestern Oklahoma, Alfalfa and Woods counties. They came to an area that was glistening like a brilliant field of snow in the summer sun. Sibley called the 20-mile area the Grand Saline and described it as 2 to 6 inches of clean, pure salt, superior, I think, to the imported brown salt. The area included ridges of sand hills and thickets of dwarf plum bushes that yielded us a great abundance of ripe plums, the largest and finest I ever tasted. About 75 miles northwest of the Great Saline, they found not a mountain, but deep layers of salt at the bottom of a shale and gypsum bluff on the south side of the Cimarron River. They called the area Rock Saline. Sibley noted that the Indians gathered the valuable salt by scraping it off the prairie with a turkey's wing into a wooden trencher. The Salt Fork of the Arkansas River, which flows around the Great Salt Plains, was known to the Osage as Neskatunga, Big Salt Water. Sibley wrote that in the area there was an inexhaustible store of ready-made salt. The Long Expedition. Stephen H. Long of the U.S. Corps of Topographical Engineers traveled 26,000 miles in 5 expeditions, two of which ventured into Oklahoma. The War Department decided to establish a military post on the western boundary of the Arkansas Territory to address the growing hostilities between the Osage and other tribes. Major Long had the job of finding a suitable site. He selected Bell Point, where the Arkansas and Poto Rivers converged, for the post that became Fort Smith in 1817. He then explored parts of eastern Oklahoma. still wanting to explore the sources of the Red and Arkansas Rivers, the War Department sent Long on the mission in July 1820. The party of 24 headed west at Omaha, Nebraska, along the Platte River. They continued to the Rocky Mountains, then turned south to the headwaters of the Arkansas River. The expedition then split. Captain John R. Bell and 12 men went down the Arkansas River. Long and 10 others continued south to the Red River. Bell's expedition in the August heat on the Arkansas River was one of great hardship. The heat wore down both men and animals. Game was scarce, and food became anything they could find. They finally reached Fort Smith on September 9, 1820. Thomas Say, the father of American zoology, was on the expedition and took detailed notes of plants, animals, minerals, and people they saw. 5 of his journals were stolen, but he managed to arrive with records. Long's group, including scientist Edwin James, rode 5 days south across New Mexico before finding a creek they believed to be the Red River. While they had found the beginning of a river, it was the Canadian rather than the Red. They did not realize that until much later. James wrote of extensive and fertile pasture grasslands with many herds of bison, wild horses, elk, and deer, as well as a large prairie dog town and many birds and insects. The sweltering heat and typically dry season caused James to refer to the area as a wide, sandy desert. He thought the region was not adaptable to settlers and was more suitable to the natives and the wildlife. It was not until September 10, 1820, when they reached the Arkansas River, that Long's party realized they had been on the Canadian River. Disappointed, they continued on to Fort Smith. The expedition recorded much detailed information, but they generally considered the land to be unsuitable for agriculture. They referred to it as the Great American Desert. James wrote that the region would best serve as a buffer between Spanish interest and American settlers. The Adams-Onis Treaty of 1819. The Louisiana Purchase had come without firm boundaries, but the Adams-Onis Treaty of 1819 resolved the issue. John Quincy Adams, Secretary of State under President James Monroe, and Luis de Onís, Spain's foreign minister, finally came to an agreement on 2 solutions. Spain agreed to sell Florida to the United States for $5 million. The border between Louisiana and Texas was established as the west bank of the Sabine River. Spain's northern border was set on the south bank of the Red River, then north along the 100th meridian to the Arkansas River, and then west to the Continental Divide. At that point, the boundary followed the 42nd parallel west to the Pacific Ocean. Spain gave up its claims to the Oregon Territory. The treaty was ratified in 1821. Major William Bradford from the Fort Smith Post had orders in 1819 to expel people who were in eastern Oklahoma illegally, many of whom were renegades, deserters, and fugitives. The noted British botanist Thomas Nuttall eagerly joined Bradford's company. He studied plants and animals along the rivers and in the mountains of eastern Oklahoma. He was impressed with what he saw, a great body of superior alluvial land. He wrote of his experiences in the area in the Journal of Travels into the Arkansas Territory. The Three Forks Area. Americans continued moving west. Charles Bugie traded with the Osage in the early 1800s. The same year Fort Smith was established, 1817, 2 Americans, Robert M. French and Samuel M. Rutherford, started a trading post on the Verdigris River a few miles north of present-day Muskogee. In the next few years, more and more American traders came into the area. Brothers Pierre and Auguste Chouteau had a large trading operation. Waterways were extremely important to early commerce, and trading posts located near them. The location just northeast of present-day Muskogee, where three major rivers, the Arkansas, Verdigris, and Grand, joined, which we now call the Three Forks area, soon became a hub of trading activity. Trappers and hunters used the trading post in the area to stock up on supplies and to sell furs. Nearby Osage villages fit neatly into the trading system. The Osage brought furs, fowl, wild honey, bear oil, and buffalo robes to trade for beads, blankets, knives, trinkets, and cloth. Nathaniel Pryor, a member of the Lewis and Clark expedition, opened a small trading post in the area. He married an Osage woman and won the confidence of the tribe. Samuel B. Richards also had a license to trade at Three Forks, but he died in 1819. George W. Brand married a Cherokee woman, built a large trading complex of 10 houses, and ran a ferry. Brand's partner was Captain Henry Barber from New Orleans. When Barber died in 1821, Colonel A.P. Chouteau, son of Pierre and a longtime trader, bought the trading complex. Chouteau and his partner, Joseph Revoir, established the Osage Outfit Trading Post just north of Saline Creek. When Revoir and his Osage wife were killed by a band of Cherokee in 1821, Chouteau moved from St. Louis to take over operations of the post. He built a large log house near present-day Salina. By the 1830s, game was becoming scarce, and the fur trade was slowing down in eastern Oklahoma. Contrary to earlier reports of Oklahoma being unfit for agriculture, products like salt, lead, pecans, and grain shipped out of the Three Forks area were certainly agriculture-related. The Western Creek were trading produce such as dried peaches, beans, gopher peas, peanuts, snake root, sarsaparilla, and ginseng, and sometimes corn and upland rice. Opening trade routes. Mexico won its independence from Spain in 1821. Traders to the north hoped this would open up trade with Santa Fe and other settlements. Several traders set out to see if this new trade was possible. Thomas James and a small party from St. Louis traveled to Three Forks to buy horses and supplies to cross the territory to Santa Fe. Another group, led by Hugh Glenn and Nathaniel Pryor, prepared to leave from Three Forks at the same time. Both expeditions headed west, but on different paths. The Glenn-Pryor group headed north into Kansas, then followed the Arkansas River into southeastern Colorado. They found excellent trading in the Pueblo area. When they received more furs than they could carry, they returned to St. Louis. The James party went west along the Cimarron River, crossing the North Canadian River in northern Oklahoma. They met a friendly band of Comanche who wanted to establish trade. They learned from a Mexican army patrol that Santa Fe was opened for trade, so they set up a business in the market square of that settlement. At about the same time, William Becknell, a Missouri trader, left that state with a caravan of wagons carrying merchandise headed for Santa Fe. The route Becknell took eventually became known as the Santa Fe Trail. Hundreds followed that route as they headed west. The most popular variation of the trail, which cut off 10 days of travel, was called the Cimarron Cutoff. The deep impression in the earth left by hundreds of wagons can still be seen today in Cimarron County in the Oklahoma Panhandle. As the young country tried to quickly find its way, the ways of the American Indian were rapidly changing also. Even more dramatic changes were coming in the near future. The strength and perseverance of the people helped them adapt to the fast-changing times. It's your turn. Number 1. Why was the Louisiana Purchase submitted to Congress as a treaty? Number 2. who were the first men commissioned by the U.S. government to explore the territory acquired in the Louisiana Purchase? Number 3. Where was the Three Forks area? The following is a summary of Chapter 4. The quest for military, economic, and religious power motivated European countries to claim land in North America. The competition to control trade in America became a battle among three great European powers, Great Britain, France, and Spain. Europeans sought Native American tribes as allies because the tribes could provide protection and trade. The French and Indian War was fought over who would control the Ohio River Valley. It resulted in many changes for the three European powers, colonists, and natives. The British policy of taxing the colonist without the colonist having representation in Parliament eventually led to the American Revolutionary War. Control of the Mississippi River for trade became a major issue for farmers in the western part of the United States. The purchase of the Louisiana area from France in 1803 doubled the size of the United States. Oklahoma's land area, excluding the Panhandle, became part of the United States as a result of the Louisiana Purchase. A number of exploring parties came to what is now Oklahoma with the purpose of laying out maps and keeping journals describing the area. The boundaries of the Louisiana Purchase were defined in the Adams-Onis Treaty of 1819. Trade developed in the Three Forks area and beyond.